Welcome to Connections Church online and YouTube channel. Our desire is that everyone who watches and listens to the preaching of God's word will be helped, inspired, transformed, and mobilized. Join us now as we dive into the preaching of the living word of God.
Helen Keller saying, "The only thing worse than being blind is having sight, but no vision." Could there be anything worse than going through life without any direction, without any passion, without purpose, without vision?
So welcome to Vision Sunday at Connections Church. Amen. Everyone excited to hear what God's going to do for the year? Fantastic. My prayer is that the church, that we would catch the heart of Jesus for his church in 2024. Amen. Every year I present the vision of Connections Church to the congregation, and I hope and pray that everyone who calls this their spiritual home would buy into the vision. And ministers, you'll often hear them speaking about having to buy into the vision. Amen. I will share targets to be reached and goals to be achieved, and hope desperately that at the end of the year we have achieved those targets and reached those goals. Amen. But I do believe that this year is going to be different. I felt led by the Spirit. I felt led by God to revisit something we did before. In fact, we are going to introduce a theme for the year that we actually had about 7 years ago, 6 years ago. And I think God wants us to understand this morning that it's not our dream and our vision that we run after or chase after or buy into, but it's Jesus' dream for his church. Amen. In Matthew 16, verse 18, it says, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." And the amazing thing is we want to set out vision, we want to sort of project vision, and we want to cast vision, and often we cast a vision that is, it includes clever ideas and pretty displays and targets and hopes and wishes and dreams and desires, but we don't consult with Jesus about what his heart is for his church. Amen. And so this year, we want to consult with Jesus. We want to hear from Jesus. Jesus, what is your heart? What is your heartbeat for your church? And then do that. Amen. If we hope to become the church that Jesus envisioned, we are going to have to hear the instructions of the builder of the church. Amen. And then do what he says. I recently preached a sermon called Christian Atheist, probably about 3 weeks ago. And when I spoke about Christian atheism, I said, a Christian atheist is someone who believes in God, but acts like he doesn't exist. Right? I said there's a big difference between believing in God and knowing God. There's a difference between believing in Jesus and knowing Jesus. Amen. And when I first met Nadia, the amazing thing about her is I didn't know her. I believed in her because I had seen her, but I didn't know her. Amen. And of course, when we first met, I remember the introduction. It was at a Connect group. I'm like, hello, I'm Brent. And she was like, hello, Nadia. She didn't suddenly just pour out her heart to me and start telling me about all her problems. Right? She needed to know me a little bit better. And so I, you know, she caught my eye. Everyone asked me, by the way, what happened to my girlfriend? I dropped her and I went for her. So everyone knows, okay? I'm human too. And so I started dating her. We started going out. We started having long conversations under the stars at the beach. We would discuss our hopes and dreams and our what makes us sad and our disappointments. And I got to know her. Amen. And then we got married. And I used to do this. You might not do this. If you don't do this, you're weird, but you might do this as well. But often when Nadia was asleep, I would go into the room and I'd lay my head on her chest and I'd listen to her heartbeat. Anyone ever done that with your partner? Right? Four of you are normal. And not just that. Sometimes while my ear was laying on her chest, listening to her heartbeat, I would put my fingers on my pulse and I would see if our heartbeats were in sync. Right? Sometimes, very seldom they were. And I'd be like, wow, how powerful is this moment? But other times, her heart's just like, duk, 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 you know, like, okay, she's obviously dreaming about something. But the fact is this, I always wanted our heartbeats to be in sync. And I think when it comes to Vision Sunday, I want my heart to be in sync with Jesus' heart about his vision for his church. Amen. And so this morning, we are not going to address a man's vision. We are not going to present a man's vision or a man's idea of what the year looks like. We are going to go back into the Word of God and look at what the Word of God says Jesus' heart is for his church. And then we're going to do that. Everyone with me? All right. Let's answer these questions honestly this morning. Am I intimate enough with Jesus to hear his heartbeat? Do I know what Jesus is passionate about? Do I know what his dream is for my life and for his church? Is my heartbeat in sync with his heartbeat? Do I carry the same passion that he has for his church? If we become intimate with Jesus and hear his heartbeat, if our hearts would beat in sync with Jesus' heart, if we would carry his heart and work to realize his dreams, I believe that we would see his blessing and his presence and favor rest on our lives. Amen. God always blesses his will. And so we must make sure that we are in line with his will and that our hearts are beating in sync with the heart of Jesus pertaining to the issue of his church. And so that's what our focus is this morning. Amen. Do you feel a challenge to get to know Jesus more intimately this year? Do you want to know what Jesus has dreamed or planned for your life? The Bible says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to bless you, not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. God has incredible things in store. Do you want to know what the plan of God is for your life this year? Do you desire to hear the heartbeat of Jesus in 2024? Do you want your heart to be in sync with Jesus' heart this year? The amazing thing is when you read the scripture, when you read the word, what happens is the word clearly tells us, it communicates to us the heart of Jesus for his church. Amen. And instead of trying to live up to and fulfill a silly humanistic dream, we need to go back into his word and say, Jesus, tell us what your heart is for your church, and we will do our level best to be obedient and to step into what you have. Amen. So the vision of our church has stayed the same for many years, and the vision is simple: connect, empower, and release. And people say, but Brent, you do this every year. Well, every year we have new people joining our church. And so the whole family has to invest in the heartbeat of Jesus for his church. Amen. Connect, empower, release. Connecting people to God and people to people. Empowering them for life and ministry. Releasing them into the world to make a difference. And so you say, but Brent, you say that this is scripture, this is the heartbeat of Jesus, and this is from his word. Well, it is. In fact, it's from the Great Commission and the Great Commandment found in the scripture. Our vision is based on the Great Commandment in Mark 12, verse 30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Amen. And our vision is also based on the Great Commission in Matthew 28:18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Lord Jesus, let the church at least be people that obey what you have commanded us. Amen. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And so this morning, I'm going to break down the vision of Connections Church, which is actually biblical and the heartbeat of Jesus towards his church. Amen. And so at the end of this morning, we are going to have the opportunity to buy in, to devote ourselves to his vision for his church. Are you ready for it this morning? So connecting people to God and people to people. And I'm going to break that up into two sections. The first one is connecting people to God. The first step in any meaningful relationship is the introduction. Amen. Some introductions can be bad and some introductions can be good, but the most important part of every relationship is a good introduction. And at Connections Church, we are passionate about those who are outside of the family of God. Those that are unsaved, those that are lost, those who have not entered into a living relationship with Jesus. Amen. It's a passion for us. We have a statement you'll often see under our logo, and it says this: people are our passion, changed lives our reward. We don't exist to sing songs and play music and project pictures on walls on a Sunday morning. We exist to change the world. That's why the church exists. Amen. And when I say the church, I'm not talking about the building or the institution. I'm talking about every single person that calls on the name of Jesus that has decided to make this their spiritual home. You exist to serve God beyond the walls of this building. You with me this morning? So we carry a burden for the lost, and we use every opportunity afforded to us to reach out with the love of God. Amen. A lot of people come to me and they say to me, well, you know, Brent, I realize that you're sharing the vision of the church. No, I'm not. I'm sharing the heartbeat of Jesus with the church. But Brent, I must tell you, I'm not the kind of person that speaks about my faith. I'm not gifted or anointed that way. Well, that's not true, because the Bible says you are. I'm not the kind of person that tells people about God. I don't introduce people to Jesus. No, there are certain people in the church that are meant to do that, like the pastors and the leaders and spiritual people. No, every single one of us has been called to make fishers. We are called to be fishers of men, you know, to go into the world and to catch people and bring them into a loving salvation with Jesus, a loving relationship with Jesus. Amen. In Matthew 4 verse 19, it says, come follow me, he said, and I will make you fishers of men. If we are followers of Jesus, then he has made us fishers of men. And then people say, well, Brent, I don't know how to do this. Well, you have ample opportunity and many discipleship courses that you can attend in the church that will equip you, but we'll get to that in a few moments. And sometimes when we read the scripture, we read it so clinically and unemotionally. And what's happening here is Jesus is calling his disciples to deny themselves, their own will, their own dreams, and their own desires, and to follow him, and to become fishers of men, to use them to reach out to see a world that is lost, a world that is without hope, a world that is really alone and desperate. And Jesus is saying, I want you to catch those people. See, this is the heartbeat of Jesus. The Bible says he came to seek and save the lost. Amen. And so when we say, is this part of the vision of the church? Absolutely, because it's part of Jesus' heartbeat for the church. Amen. So this is accomplished by boldly sharing the good news of God's love and forgiveness with all outside the family of God. And you might say, well, I'm not ready for this. Well, then attend a course. Be discipled, be empowered, be equipped, and do what God's called us to do. Amen. By sharing our own story or testimony about God's work of grace in our lives, by inviting unsaved friends and family to services where they can weekly be given an opportunity to receive the living, resurrected Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Amen. You must understand, church, we have to understand this. We have to get the revelation of this. We sit here this morning. We are blessed in the presence of God. We have a future and a hope. There is a destiny in store for us. But there is a world that is lost and desperate outside the walls. That God is saying, I need you. You have to have this in your heart. You have to carry the heartbeat of Jesus and reach them. Amen. We can change the eternal trajectory of people's lives. Isn't that a powerful thought? Connecting people to people, the second part of connect. The church that Jesus has built is beautiful. Amen. And I'm not talking again about the brick and the mortar. I'm talking about every single person that sits here. What a diversity, what a colorful creation the church is and that Jesus is building. We're not an organization. We're not a company. We're not a gang. We're not a crowd of people. Amen. But we are a family of the living God. That is incredible. We are brothers and sisters. We have a heavenly Father that saved us, unified us, and purposed us for unimaginable things. Do you believe that this morning? In Hebrews 10 verse 24 it says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together. Let me say that again. Not giving up meeting together. Should I repeat that one more time? I'll do it twice for good measure. Not giving up meeting together. One more time. Not giving up meeting together. Amen. As some of you are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. We have been called to be a people that encourages one another. We aren't just Sunday family. We aren't just Sunday brothers and sisters. We walk into church. We have a cup of coffee with our pinky raised. We say, good morning, brother. Good morning, sister. Mostly because we forget their names. We are not Sunday family. We have been saved into an eternal family. God, our Father, Jesus, our Savior. Amen. And so we are supposed to be praying for one another. We're supposed to be encouraging one another. We're supposed to be spurring each other on to good works. Amen. This is accomplished by regular Sunday service attendance. By joining a connect group. I know many people in our church don't go to connect group. I want to encourage you. This year, make it a priority to get to connect group. It's the family of God. It's an intimate setting where you can share your heart with people that can pray with you, that can encourage you, that can lift you up when you're feeling down. We need the church. It's our family. Amen. By developing lasting friendships, by doing life together. Amen. By eating. It's one thing Christians do so exceptionally well. It's eat. Amen. Eat together. Get people for meals. Eat together. Share life together. Do life together. This Jesus' heartbeat for his church is to connect people to God and to connect people to people. Amen. John 17:20 says, my prayer, Jesus speaking, he says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to the complete unity. And this is powerful. God wants a church that is connected to each other. The connected church, the unified church, the church family was and is clearly Jesus' heartbeat for his church. Amen. Let's ensure that we sync our hearts with his. The second part of our vision is empower. Empowering them for life and ministry. This speaks of discipleship. Jesus' desire was that people would be transformed, that they would follow him and live a life that reflects him. Amen. And at Connections Church, we place great importance on discipleship, on empowering people. Equipping and empowering the followers of Christ to live a meaningful, Christ-focused, and purpose-driven life. It's a priority to us. Amen. And when I say it's a priority to us, it's because it's the heartbeat of Jesus, and we all carry that same heartbeat. Our hearts are synced with his. Amen. We encourage everyone to take advantage of every discipleship opportunity that you have in 2024. And we offer various discipleship channels. We've got Sunday, preaching and teaching, where we will speak, equip, and empower people for living a life that's worth living. Amen. We have Grow, which happens at 11:45 at the Outside Classroom, the first four Sundays of the month. It helps you to know God. It helps you to find connection with people that are like-hearted. It helps you to discover your purpose, and it helps you to make a difference in the world. Amen. We have got Devoted Follower, which speaks into what true biblical devotion looks like and what really it means to be a disciple of Jesus, to be a follower of Christ. We have Connections Academy, our Bible school that runs on a Sunday night. We have now got first year and second year running. You know, the Bible says, study to show yourself approved, the workman. And so the Bible says it would be good for us to study to show ourselves approved. I encourage you, if you have not signed up for Bible school, invest in yourself. Get equipped, get empowered this year, and attend Connections Academy. We have got a course coming up later on in April called The Practices for Life. And it's a 7-week course, and it's going to be run by Desi. I never say her name right, so I'm not going to say it now. Desi Borchert. I did it anyway. And I promise you, if you get the Practices for Life right, it will transform your life. All right? We have leadership development in our church. So we've got something called 24-24. We're raising up 24 leaders over the span of the year because we believe that Jesus' heart is to see his church continue. Amen? Beyond me, beyond the leaders, beyond the elders, we want to see another generation. We want to see current generation. We want to see people take the church to the next level, as Jesus leads. And then we have got conferences. And so there are many discipleship opportunities and streams for you to take advantage of this year. I encourage you, as part of the vision of the church, make sure that you get empowered. Amen. In John 8, verse 31, it says, Jesus then said to those Jews who believed in him, if you remain in my word, you will be truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I want you to know this year, if you stay in the word, you truly will be a disciple of Jesus, because you'll be equipped, empowered to do what he has a heartbeat for you to do as his church. Amen. Follow the instructions of Jesus. Hear his heartbeat. Become a disciple and make disciples. Amen. And then finally, release. Once you have been connected to God, once you have been connected to people, once you have been equipped and empowered, you can't just sit back and pretend to be part of a church. Jesus saved us to serve. Amen. We have to be released to make a difference with what God has put into our lives. You with me this morning? There is nothing more useful than a round circle. There is nothing more useless than a square circle. Let me explain. Too many people don't know how to change the world because they don't know their own shape. Amen. God created you with a particular purpose in mind. Discover that purpose and then use that purpose to be a blessing to the church and to the world. Can I get a big amen on that? Once you've been connected to the family of God, once you've been discipled and empowered, we must be released to make a difference in the church and in the world. In Galatians 5 verse 13, it says this, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, saved and discipled, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. And Jesus is making it very clear in his scripture that we are not to sit back and just mess around in life. But once we have got saved, once he has invested in us, once he has imparted in us, we are supposed to take that gifting in us and we're supposed to use it to serve the church. Amen. The success of a church is not based on its seating, but on its service. Not only are we to serve our brothers and sisters in church, Jesus desires that we go into all the world. Matthew 28:19. Amen. We are supposed to shine brightly in the world and serve others so that they look at us and they worship and honor our God. Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. Decide today to make a difference with your life. Amen. I don't believe that a clear vision, intricate planning, or well-executed strategy will advance Jesus' plan for his church more than what becoming intimate with him will accomplish. Let me explain. I can stand here and I can just speak rules and regulations and expectations. But unless you know me, unless you know my heart, unless you are a friend of mine, unless we are intimate with one another, you are not going to care about it. Amen. When we are intimate with Jesus, when we know him, when we know what he loves, when we know what his heartbeat is for his church, we will be motivated and inspired to step out and do it because we want to please him. Amen. This year as a church, we're starting a journey that will move us towards Jesus. And that's our theme for this year, towards Jesus. We need to change our distance from Jesus. Amen. We need to make sure that we are narrowing spaces. We need to make sure that we are becoming more intimate with him. And everything in this year is going to focus on us moving towards Jesus, becoming desperately in love with him, seeking him with all of our hearts. Because when our hearts are situated in the right place, our devotion will be exercised in the right place. You with me, church? Craig Rochelle states this, our life is always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Let's ask ourselves a question this morning. Are our thoughts set on Jesus? Or are our thoughts set on our own successes? What is stealing my attention? Is my attention on Jesus? Or is my attention distracted by the worries of this world, the deceitfulness of riches? What is my heart set on? What owns my love and affection? What direction is my life moving in? If we are moving towards Jesus and we're intimate with Jesus and our hearts are set on Jesus and Jesus owns our love and our affection and our thoughts are set on Jesus, I'm telling you now, we are going to move in the direction that Jesus tells us to move in. About 7 years ago, Nadia came up with this weird, weird idea that she wanted to do some running. And so she comes to me and she says to me, listen, I'm going to start training and we are going to, in a couple of weeks, we are going to do the night run. And she's doing a 21-kilometer run. That's a 2 and a 1 together, not plus 1. It's 21. And I'm like, are you insane? And you know, because I love her, because I know her, because I'm intimate with her, because I want her to see her dreams fulfilled, because I want to see her experience joy, guess what I did? I stood on the side and I motivated her as she ran. Yes, baby. Yes, yes, yes. I even gave water to people and refreshments to people. And then I went to the end of the race. And as she came up towards me, I stood like a conquering hero. And I was like, yes, come to me, victorious one. When we love someone, when we are devoted to them, when we are intimate with them, we want their dreams to become a reality. Amen. If we are moving towards Jesus, if we are intimate with him this year, let me tell you, we'll do anything to make sure that Jesus' heartbeat for his church becomes a reality. Amen. So let me ask you a question this morning. And I started out with this question in the beginning. Are you in? Are you going to move your life towards Jesus in 2024? Amen. Because we want to this year, we want to dream Jesus' dream for his church. That is our vision. His word, his instruction, the great commission, the great commandment is his vision for our church. Amen. So how are we going to move towards Jesus in pursuit of fulfilling his vision for his church? Number one, We're going to have to rediscover Jesus. I asked a question recently and I said to somebody who's a minister, I said, if you had to consider your congregation for a moment, how many people believe in Jesus versus how many people know Jesus? And I got an appalling stat. They said to me, I believe maybe 10% of our church believes in Jesus. 10% of people know Jesus, and 90% of church merely believes in Jesus. Amen. We need to know him this year. So this year, all of our ministry is going to focus on us rediscovering Jesus and the glories of who he is. Amen. Number two, we're going to have to love what he loves. The Bible says, you know, we should hate sin. We should love Jesus, but we should love his church. You know why? Jesus loved the church so much, he was willing to die for her. So this year, we're going to love his church. Amen. We're going to perfect. You have to perfect our serve. We have to perfect our serve. Everyone goes, you know what? It's fantastic. On a Sunday morning, I walk into church. People give me coffee. They smile at me. They welcome me in. I spill my coffee. Someone goes and gets a mop and mops it up. I come into church. The air conditioners are on. I'm sitting down. I'm watching these incredible screens. The worship team gets up. They play songs and we sing. Someone gets up and preaches, usually very awkwardly and half-heartedly, but they preach. I get encouraged. I go home, and on the way out, they give me something to eat. I get a slushie. It's amazing. But they don't realize what had to go into that to happen for them. People are here at 6 o'clock in the morning. Some are here at 5 o'clock in the morning. And sometimes people are here at 4 o'clock in the morning, making sure that the services are ready for people to come and have an encounter with God. Amen. We have to perfect our serve. We were saved to serve. We weren't saved to spectate. Amen. So as part of our vision this year, we are going to do what Jesus' heartbeat is, and we are going to serve in the church, and we're going to serve those in the world. Amen. You know what's interesting about this is we're saying we want to be more like Jesus. The Bible says Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. So we should all find something to do. Don't just sit there. Do something this year. Amen. Number four, bring people to encounter Jesus. There's a story in the Bible where Jesus is preaching in a house. And there's a paralyzed man that is about 20 kilometers away from where he is. His friends recognize that he's incapable of coming to Jesus. So they put him on a mat and they haul him all the way over the town to get to where Jesus is. They get to the house. The house is full. They can't get in. And so they could have decided right there, I'm just going to walk away. But no, they go onto the roof. They dig a hole in the roof and they let the man down into the very presence of Jesus. And Jesus heals him. And the man has a revelation of Christ. I want you to know, church, there is a calling on us to be fishers of men. This year, invite people to church. Bring them into the presence of Jesus. Present them to Jesus and see what Jesus will do in the lives of those who are lost, those who are outside of the family of God. Amen. Number five, make disciples. What an honor it is for us to shape others into being fully devoted followers of Jesus. What a privilege. Let's stand together this morning as we close. I'm going to ask you as we close, just to put your hand on your heart. This is a moment of reflection, a moment of introspection, a moment for the Spirit of God to work in us, to challenge us, to convict us, to motivate us and inspire us. We worship you, Jesus. Jesus, this morning as your church, we don't simply want to put out a vision that is man-made, but we want to recline against your chest. We want to hear your heartbeat. And Jesus, we want our hearts to be in sync with yours as your church. You said that you will build your church. You have built a beautiful church. And our heart's desire, Jesus, is that we would do things your way, your will, your way. I pray, Father, that as a people, we would have a burden for those outside of the family of God. Jesus, You said that you would make us fishers of men. I pray that we would take that responsibility. Every person that we see that falls outside of your family, may we have a great burning desire to see them come to you. May we share our testimonies with them. May we share the good news of your salvation, grace, and love with them. May we invite them into the presence of God. Invite them to church. I pray, Lord God, that we would take the family of God more seriously in 2024. Jesus, this is your heartbeat. That we would love one another. That we would serve one another. That we would encourage one another. That we would pray for one another. That we would spur one another on towards good works. Let us do life together. I pray, Father God, that we would be hungry, hungry for your word. Lord God, knowing that you have so much that lays ahead of us, may we seek to have an empowerment from your word, to be equipped by your word so that we can be effective in the world. May we take advantage and make use of every opportunity this year, Lord God, to be equipped and strengthened and readied for the mission ahead of us. And then, Father, I pray that we would understand the heartbeat of Jesus towards everyone. He did not come to be served, but to serve. May we be servants first. May we find place to belong. May we find a space where we fit. Lord God, where our shape works, and may we serve with all of our hearts because we want to please the one who is building the church. We honor you and worship you. We glorify you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. This year, may we draw close to you, Jesus, towards you, more intimate, more passionately in love with you, deeper connection. We want to know your heartbeat. We want to sync with your heartbeat this year. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. You can put your hands down for a moment. Keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. I want to give you an opportunity right now, as we do in every meeting. I realize it's Vision Sunday, but the truth is Jesus is still here. You might be and you say to me, Brent, I'm listening to you speak about the vision. I'm listening to you speak about the heart of Jesus for his church. I want you to know Jesus has a heart for you also. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him would not die but have everlasting life. You might be here today and you say to me, Brent, I'm not sure that I am right with God. I don't know if I go to heaven if I die. You can be sure today. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus made a powerful statement. He said this. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father but by me. The only way to ensure that heaven is your home one day is by receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Ask yourself this question. If I die today, where would I wake up to spend eternity? If you're not sure, you're in the right place today. There is a loving God that sent his Son to redeem you, to purchase you back, to save you, and to transfer you into his kingdom. So I'm going to ask you in just a moment. I'm going to count to three. And if you're not sure, you say to me, Brent, I'm not sure. I'm going to ask you to take a bold step and respond this morning. Don't worry about the people around you. This is not between you and them. This is between you and the living God. You might find that your heart's pounding right now. Or there's a stirring on the inside. That's the Holy Spirit calling you to receive Jesus. So while every head is bowed, while every eye is closed, I'm going to count to three, and then I'm going to pray with the entire congregation, a mass prayer. I'm not calling anyone to the front. If you want to receive him this morning and make sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you want to make sure that heaven is your home, that God is your Father, you want to make sure that you are entering into a living relationship with Jesus, I'm going to ask you to take a bold step and lift your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. Just slip up your hand and say, Brent, that's me this morning. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Just in the middle over there. God bless you. Keep your hand up until someone just put something in your hand. God bless you. Anyone else this morning? Very quickly, while you're standing here, I'm going to pray very, very shortly, but I don't want to miss out on anyone. You're saying, Brent, I'm not sure, but I want to be sure this morning. Very quickly, slip up your hand. I'm going to include you in that prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray this together, especially those with their hands up. Say, Father, this morning, I thank you for your great love. Your word says, if I would say with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I would be saved. I do that today. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. I put my trust in you. I choose today to lay my life down, to pick up my cross, and to follow you, Jesus, all the days of my life. I thank you because I have done this. Heaven is my home. God is my Father. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen. Let's give them a hand this morning.
We trust that you have been encouraged by this sermon. If you have decided to commit your life to Jesus, congratulations on the best decision you will ever make. Please let us know at info@connectionschurch.co.za. We would love to celebrate your decision and help you navigate your new relationship with God. God bless you.